Welcome to the Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast with your own Desiana Torres. This is a place for humbled, open, and transparent conversations with members of our own community. Here you can find diverse testimonies of the oppression and trauma faced on both individual and community levels. Do you want to validate the suppressed emotions you've never had the opportunity to speak about? Interested in breaking the silence? Then let's validate all that you feel right here, right now on this podcast. Let's go. So what's good, everybody? Welcome back to not only the IG Live series, but also the Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast series. Today, we are finishing up the month with talking about what being hood made is. So I know the last couple of weeks that we've been having some real serious conversations about, you know, the oppression that exists in our hoods, a lot of the struggles that we see, a lot of the impacts that it holds on our mental health, right? Not only our mental health, but the struggles that the oppression holds on our generations of families, the success that we are able to either achieve or not achieve, and the impacts that normally don't go talked about, right? So I'm thankful that we've had those blast guest speakers for the last couple of months, and more so for people to be able to come on here and be so open and so real with their truth. Because again, there's platforms that don't really exist for us to really keep it real with y'all. Like, you know, for us, more so like me personally, a lot of folks look at me like, oh, you know, Desi got it all together. She got all her degrees. She knows what she's doing. And what I guess I don't really highlight the forms of oppression that I face too. So today we're not going to be talking about oppression. I think that was yesterday's or last week's conversation. Today we're going to be talking about the beauty that comes from the hood, right? What are some of the benefits that stem out from the harsh conditions that we have experienced? And so as a special guest, we have Jocelyn Gama, who's going to present herself in a way that allows for us to understand how creativity and the beauty that exists in our hoods is so important for us to remember and keep so close to our hearts and souls, for us to continue to feel so empowered by being authentic. And so the reason why I really, really wanted her to be a part of this series is because I live through her stories and through the way she just advertises herself, the way she exists so authentically and so natural in the world, that allows for us to see the power that comes from that. And so I'm gonna go ahead and bring her along and allow for her to also introduce a lot of the stuff that she does, as well as the work that she provides in our community. So let me go ahead and hi, I see a lot of some folks. Alex, what's up? Alex is somebody who I just gave a presentation to Sac State yesterday. Hi, Mama.
What's up? Hey, hello, everyone.
I know that you're not feeling your best right now, but I definitely appreciate you for like still being able to get time. I know you out of town handling business and doing what you always do. But I definitely wanted to open up the floor for folks to be able to get to know a little bit of who they listening to. Who's here? Who are we talking to?
All right, girl. Well, thank you. And yeah, I just literally just called Desi and I was like, Desi, you know, I'm here to support you. I know I don't look like I'm sick, but I'm honestly feeling like my throat is like itching. But I'm just so grateful to be here. Thank you for offering the space, for curating it. I'm just so excited. But yeah, so my name is Jocelyn Gama, and I'm originally from Mexico. I was born in Mexico, but I was just raised in Oakland, California. And so I've just been dedicated, you know, to be a servant to my community, to be a servant to humanity. And so being dedicated to do that has definitely been able to, has definitely given me the opportunity to like be in spaces like the one that I'm in now. For example, like I'm at a national youth summit led by like youth creatives, like youth entrepreneurs and just change makers. And yeah, like there's a lot of, and I know that I'm not the only one, but we all wear different hats. I know you wear different hats too, you know, like congrats on being a mother too. That baby's so lucky to have you as a mom. But yeah, I just really like to, we'll definitely like throughout this conversation, we'll be able to hear more about like the work that I do and also like the work that you do. But I just really like to always say like, I'm just here to serve humanity. because there's a lot of like representation that we all need, you know, from different backgrounds and stuff like that. So yeah.
That's so real, especially in spaces where not a lot of us are granted the opportunity to reach, right?
Yeah.
I know that a lot of my questions are already going to kind of hint on that for you to share your experience. And so I just want to appreciate the folks who are joining in now. I see y'all, I'm waving at y'all. I appreciate y'all existence for being here, but more so being so supportive to the cause and just the conversations that we're really pushing forth. So Jocelyn, to get started, I've been asking everybody this question starting this series. I'm like, y'all, what does handmade mean for you? So for, I really want to ask you that too, because I know everybody's definition is different.
Right. And yeah, you're right. Like, hello, everyone. I see some of my friends joining. Y'all some real ones. I love y'all. So hood made to me, that's actually a good question. You know, hood baby, hood made. Hood made to me means that when you're hood made, you being hood made, it's like you're choosing being hood made. Got me with that one. I'm just like trying to, but I think I'm gonna break it down. Like being hood made, it's like sometimes, you know, they portray that being from the hood is a bad thing, when in reality, when you from the hood, you get real life at the front lines experiences, you know, like you see everything. Like, you know, I'm very much politically influenced. And when you're talking about like all of these policymakers, when you're talking about change, and you know, like the hood is a space where most of us are, where we're literally marginalized, where the government doesn't really like to, you know, amplify our stories, where they just wanna like really tarnish and just hurt what it is that we're trying to do. So being hood made is, also not choosing to be a product of your environment, but also being, I think that I want to change that notion, because I think that, you know, we're from Oakland, we're from the Bay, it's nothing wrong, it's being a product from Oakland, I'm a product from Oakland. I think that there's been a notion that being a product of your environment, but my environment has like, as much as my environment has nourished and poured onto me, you know? And like, that's my hood. Like, it takes a village that poured onto me, that gave me love, that gave me the lessons that I need in order to survive. And like, but, and you know, just to make it out. But sometimes I be telling myself, like, I don't need to make it out of Oakland because this is my home, you know? Like, what do I need to make it out of when we got everything? Like, you know, like Oakland is changing drastically. So what do I need to make, like, why would I have to leave my home? If anything, like, you know, what being hood made allows me to stay in my hood and make everything happen that the hood made me and pushed me to do, which was amplify our stories, you know, and literally like dismantle just Eurocentric ideologies of what the hood is, you know, because a lot of people like to profit from the hood. And when I say a lot of people, it's those white supremacists or just those people that aren't even inclined with our own culture. Like being from the hood is a culture, you feel me? It's a space where we build community, where we seek out for solutions, you know? And there's the pros and cons, you know, from being from the hood. It's like the cons is like we're very under-resourced. And that's just the thing that really like just really doesn't allow us to pursue what it is that we want to pursue. But also the pros, but from being hood made, is that it allows you, and it get like you're the expertise when you're from the hood. You're the expert to speak on the whole world because we're the closest to these issues, you know. But yeah,
I appreciate that so much. And you really embodied so much of what was like talked about for the whole month of this series in general, right? Being able to acknowledge, like you were talking about, both the pros and the cons, right? Something that really stood out to me was like, you were like, yo, like, so many of us are like striving to make it out the hood, but I don't want to make it out the hood. Like, this is my home. Like, this is what makes me. Like, this is like what allows for me to feel so authentic to who I am.
And yeah.
And like, it helped us like become who we are, motivated in the dreams and the visions that we have to want to create a world that can allow for us to not only culturally exist as we do in the hood, that's so different from other places, but to be also a place that does have resources and those connections to be able to succeed.
Right.
When you were talking about it amplifying our stories, I feel like our stories are oftentimes misconstrued or misrepresented when it comes to the mass media or when it comes to movies where they like present, you know, a certain type of race as a certain type of character, right? And so oftentimes, I don't know if you noticed this too, but like when I made it into, when I went to UC Davis, I had like two blonde streaks here and I was like so happy to have it because it was like a bay. I think I got it from like the Bad Girls Club, like this one girl had it. But I'm like, yo, I want it, I really wanted it. But when I went to UC Davis, they already had characterized me, not only because of the way I talked and like the slang I used, but because of my hairstyle and the earrings I chose, they labeled me as a chola. And these are people who don't live in a hood. And I'm like, you just already created a character based on an appearance of who I am or the character that comes from being from the hood, right? And so that kind of highlights like that negative outlook that people have when we talk about being hood made. And right. So glad you brought that up because today we're going to talk about the beauty of it, the creativity of it, like all the good things that stem from it that some of us oftentimes forget because we get too caught up in the oppression that is existing around us.
Yeah.
And so I also want to highlight when you said we are experts, like when it comes to oppression, if you live in the hood, you see it, you have a different connection, a different experience to the stuff that the rest of the world doesn't get to see. Like right. how I always explain it is like, imagine like privilege being that you sit on top of a mountain, right? You sitting high up, right? So when you looking down, all you seeing is like little ants, like you can't really see like what's happening, what's really going on, the poverty, the oppression, police brutality, things that are really existing in our heads that are impacting us. And so for us to be able to like show up and be experts of our stories, but be confident in the truth that we tell, because when we speak up, we have to also acknowledge that folks ain't going to be quick to believe us.
Right.
Like, in my hood or not in their hoods, but in my community, like that doesn't happen. So if it doesn't happen to me, it don't exist.
Exactly.
And I think that's one of the struggles that we have. And so I guess one of the questions that I have to like now focus on the beauty and creativity is like, what forms of creativity do you believe like, or do you witness or experience being raised in the hood?
What forms of creativity? Well, look, like, what forms of creativity? Like, as you know, I do a lot of, like, spoken word. And I think that, like, that's a form of creativity. Like, I center a lot around, like, healing. Like, we all need healing, you know? And I think that that's the question is, what forms of creativity the hood taught me, right? Or yeah, it's like spoken word, like honestly spoken word. And I remember like I went to United for Success. I bring her to my sis. She's like, I bring her to the dance studio. Yeah, like that's another thing, you know, like we'd be dancing spoken word. I remember in the sixth grade, I was exposed to like spoken word and like doing a poem. And I think that what really opened my mind with spoken word was, and it's funny though, because it literally lives in my head like it was yesterday. What the teacher instructor has said, he said there was literally he had shared a poem of like somebody experiencing death and almost like talking about heaven, like this angel, I kind of don't remember, but I just know that an angel died and he was able to explain like the afterlife. And I was like in the sixth grade, so I was young, and I was like, oh, the afterlife, like there's more to what we're here on earth, you know? And so that kind of like opened my brain. And thinking about that, like we can even talk about like the school closures that they're trying to do, the schools that poured onto me and taught me these different forms of creativity. The government's trying to close it down, but that's exactly what the hood gave me. And they always want to take away from us. And like my sis Jacole, who, you know, she's just hopped on here. I appreciate you, sis. That's another thing. Like we also would be dancing. I remember having a break at like a hip hop break dance. And I was exposed to that too. And that was a way for me to heal. And like, now I still use dancing. Spoken word has taken me places where I never thought I would be able to be, you know, like being able to do spoken word in front of like white individuals, in front of white folks that don't come from my same background, but you can hear my truth in spoken word, being able to be like, I don't know if you guys may have heard of like the Aspen Institute, but the Aspen Institute is actually one of the richest organizations or business models in America. They have so much money, and they also invest. But and I was able to do a spoken word for that institute, and that's what being in the that's what I took in from my hood, and I took it to the world, and I showed them like this is what my hood is doing to me. And some other stuff that I do is too is like I also model, and that's one thing about us people from Oakland. We do like we try and represent in anything that we do, bro. Like it doesn't matter what we put our feet in, what we put our mind and our heart and our soul in, like we gonna do it with our heart. And that's I think that that's just what makes it like so authentic, you know, like and like yeah, those are some few things. And spoken word also reaches a lot of communities. Like I'm very I also like to commit myself and my work to like mass incarceration, you know, like I've had family members that have been in the system. I actually like I feel like I lost my brother to the system, and I just lost him to the streets, and spoken word has definitely helped me. And just doing the research that I do, I also and like seeing my older brother like music and just and talking to other people, doing the research, like as I said, spoken word also helps heal people, those who are in prison, you know. And you know, like we can talk about mass incarceration and how that intertwines with like the Oakland too. It's the whole world, right? But I'm from Oakland, and like that's what I'm the closest to right now, and that's what gave me the lessons that I know. And yeah, man, like yeah, those are some creative expressions. What's up, Ben?
Yeah, no, that's beautifully said. I think that it is the creativity that comes from that stems from like spoken word and poetry, because I think what poetry does, at least like what it did for me when I learned about it, I think I was like in freshman year of high school when I learned about poetry, and it gave me a voice and allowed me to use my voice and turn something that was so painful to me into something that was beautifully written and that carried so much emotion behind it, right? And you talked about it being a form of healing, which is so like so real, because when I wrote my poetry book, that was me healing myself in the book. Folks are like, oh yeah, you just wrote a book. Like, nah, y'all, I was in a place where I was in such a dark place that like I really wanted to heal myself from all the things that I didn't talk about, or all the things I kept embodied into my soul that was heavy and prevented me from experiencing a certain level of peace, you know? And
Right.
so talk about poetry being such a poetic way to experience healing, I feel like, and then you make the connection for it being also important in prison systems. And so my book is actually embedded in prison systems right now, and prisoners are being able to utilize it as a form of their healing and having them, you know, reach out to me like, yo, like, damn, like, you know, when is the next one coming out? And what I say to them is, when you write it, because
Oh, wait.
like,
I got the chills when you said that.
for real, because so many folks, like I guess a lot of us, like will look and read other people's story, and we forget that our own story is just as powerful, and that the stories that we have are just as important. I think the way that our system works, it really criminalizes folks who are incarcerated, even if they're there for nonviolent crimes, or they're because of the oppression in our community that allowed for them to go that route. You know,
Yeah.
always talked about, and so I think what's important is for folks to be able to tie into that. You also brought up being able to dance. Dance is another form of healing. Back in our ancestry, dancing was a ritual thing that our ancestors engaged in. Yeah. To be able to release whatever it is that they're carrying, whether it was grief or pain or this or that, dancing, singing, like all these creative platforms really allowed for us to connect to our mind, our body, and our soul. You know what I mean? And that's so impactful and so powerful. And I love that you also brought up that schools are now trying to eliminate that, because they're like, hold on, folks is waking up too much. Like,
Too woke, right?
we can't have that. Like, we can't have folks waking up this much. And some of the programs that came to my mind is like programs that don't exist in our school that connect us to ourselves and other people, such as like at Fremont High School, I joined the Poly Club. And in the Poly Club, I was learning about a culture that was different than what was being taught in our Americanized histories. I got to learn really about the people that are sitting next to me in classrooms that I otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to learn about, their history, their culture, their language, their dance, their choice of songs, the food, like everything that allows for us to be able to eliminate bias that is created unconsciously and allows us to rebuild that connection.
Right.
Another program, I don't know if you've heard of it, but Homies Empowerment.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Actually, what? Because I also work with Urban Strategies Council, and they're like partners. They work together.
Wow.
And they do work too.
True. So Homies Empowerment started back when I was in high school too, and they really, I'm gonna be 100% honest. Before I joined Homies Empowerment, I was ashamed of my ethnicity and ashamed of my culture. And not because that was just something that was naturally gifted to me, but because school made me hate myself. School made me hate the way history was written. I'm like, damn, I'm kind of embarrassed to be a part of this group. When folks would ask me, I used to hate that question. But when I joined the Homies Empowerment, I talked about this in my college, like personal statement. I'm like, damn, like they really opened me up to embrace all the good parts about myself that I was never taught or spoken to about. And what Homies Empowerment did is, there's such a lot of stigma going around about those who are undocumented, right? And how we perceive them and how we like just diss them and like not really understand the struggles that they ran from or the sacrifices that came behind them.
Right.
What Homies Empowerment did was it really allowed for us to connect to feeding the day laborers every morning. We'd have coffee and pan dulce every morning, and we'd be stationed like way before class starts, passing out food and feeding folks in our community. And I felt like it's those outlets that really allow for us to get a sense of who we are, to build a sense of community. And it is something that schools are like, no, we're not gonna fund this no more.
Right. No, and I mean, I think it's also like you talk about like you didn't like to talk about your culture and like where you're from. I think it also has a lot to do with like the representation that there is, you know, like systematically, like we don't see and stuff like that are not portrayed because when we see somebody from our backgrounds going up, it's either they become an elitist or they get killed. You know, it's either one of the two, and it's like they don't allow us becoming like full on hold our own autonomy. And I think that that's what I really like about like what you're doing, bringing other people in this space, because it is important to address these issues together. You know, to talk about these stuff. And oh my God, I just forgot what. Oh yeah, it's important to address these stuff. And we're representing now, you know, by having these conversations. And like you said something like doing all of that, you turned your pain into power. Like that's what poetry does, you know, it turns our pain into power. And like what we're doing right now is like representing and allowing other young men and girls to do the same, you know, and like we just gotta keep doing what we're doing and not give up. And we gotta be big also on like self-care because if we're not taking care of our body, if we're not taking care of our mind, body, and spirit, then like how are we able to do this? Because I know, and I know you know this. Like I've been watching you know, like first off, I know Jalen and Chi-Chi United, you know, like and I never so it's like you I know you've and like I've kept up with you and I know you've been doing this work, you know, for quite some for some time. And yeah, we just have to keep doing this, just keep speaking up, keep building these systems with one another, collaborate and you know, shed light on these issues, you know, and that way we just gotta continue to believe in ourselves and continue to do what it is that we do and stay committed to the work. Yeah.
And I love that because you're right. Like it's the spaces that we create that we know we're lacking, or that maybe there isn't enough platforms of people talking about the struggles that we face. Because especially when it comes to social media, like everybody portraying that they got it all together. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, we don't. I just gave a presentation to Sac State yesterday, and in the beginning of the slide, I'm like, who's Desiana? And I described myself with all my achievements. And then I was like, but if you really knew me. And then I gave all the aspects of myself that no one that we always hide. Like, sometimes I struggle with episodes of depression. Sometimes I do have daddy issues that come up. Sometimes this comes out. Sometimes that, like the stuff that really helps define like who I am and then who I am in the making, that allows for us to feel validated in our existence.
Right.
What's so beautiful about that is like, and I'm glad you brought up Chi Chi and Jay. Those man, those, my siblings are really my heart and soul, and like the spaces that I create are coming from the experiences that we had as siblings, but more so the experience we had as citizens in Oakland, or residents there too. And so question I have is like, what do you find to be the most beautiful part about being from Oakland?
The hyphiness. It's like literally, I hyphen educated. Like I'm taking that world. E40 did a great job expressing what hyphy is, because hyphy is not just an Oakland thing. Hyphy is a universal energy thing, And like if you're really from Oakland, you're not gonna gatekeep that. You want the whole world to know hyphiness. And I think it really is that, to be honest. I love what is the most beautiful thing from Oakland? Yeah, just the hyphiness, to be honest. Because hyphy is an energy thing. Like, I swear to God, look, and I think that I finally am stepping into my power, because like growing up, it was so hard for me to speak on my accomplishments, because I felt, for one, I do need to acknowledge I'm a light-skinned Latina. Where in other spaces that people are not cultured enough will think I'm white. But it's like when you're a Latina, even within the African American community as well, like there are Afro Latinos. You as well, sis, like you hold a lot of heritage, and just I am a light skin, like I'm a light skin Mexican. And now me being able to step, and I'm stepping into my power, me literally being able to travel across like the nation and representing Oakland everywhere that I go, I'm just like, yeah, I'm from Oakland. Sometimes I'm like, I'm from East Oakland, California, and then sometimes I'm like, I'm from Oakland, California. But don't matter whether I say East Oakland or Oakland, people are like, oh, okay, and I'm like, yeah, what's up? Because I feel that, oh, okay, the workaholic said, but I'm crazy. You don't want to be like, come from the East Oakland. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because, like, being hyphy, like I said, is an energy. Being from the hood, like, we may not, we will always be in a circumstance, or, majority of us have come to a circumstance where we don't, like, have the, where we don't have, like, enough money, to, own designer, but somehow we always look fly. And the way that we keep it a buck, we keep it real, we authentic, and that's what my city taught me. Like that's from being from Oakland taught me. It taught me how to keep it a buck, and it taught me how to, like, we always show mad love to everyone because we've been exposed to so many things. I love the diversity, how, and I'm just like, sometimes I'll be asking myself, like, because I was born in Mexico. When my parents came to America, we landed in LA, but my dad was like, I'm going to Oakland. And now I'm just like, the fact that I'm able to really represent Oakland, like, politically, and I haven't even graduated, like that, I get the chills, because 9-year-old me, and I appreciate what you even said, like, and first off, also, I'm so proac of you. You doing a presentation at Sac State, like that's some real nice stuff. Like that's exactly what we need. We need our people going into these different institutions and representing. And I say that to say, because like growing up, dude, I was my dad. He would el vendía cartón. He would sell like cardboard in order for us to have a living, in order for us to have food on our back. My dad also sold tamales all around Oakland. And that's one thing, like us. From Oakland, bro, it don't matter where we work at, we always take pride in everything that we do. And that's one thing that my pops also taught me. But I say that to say, like, bro, Oakland, we have a hustle breed, bro. Like a hustle that can't nobody take from us. Like we take that hustle, we take our pain and fuel it in the hustle, bro. And like growing up, I also, yo vendi, I would sell rosaries. I would sell food, like, like candy in elementary. And like that's what Oakland taught me, like that entrepreneurship mindset. Like I'm gonna make some money, bro. And I think that what's really changing with us people from Oakland, like I know that there's like also, because I do want to start bringing into Because I really am committed into like helping our community and to educate them on like the stuff that happened. Because sometimes us people from Oakland will go against each other because we're all trying to go to the top. And I think it's important to talk about and educate it. Like, I think I've been in situations like that far too much where I'm like, I can't even be mad at you, sis or bro. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna educate you and I'm gonna just keep it going and I'm gonna move by example, you know? But despite anything, bro, like everywhere that we go, like that's just what Oakland taught me, bro. And that's just a beautiful thing. Like the hyphenness, the culture, the music, how we literally originated like so many movements, you know? Like we can talk about like the Brown Berets, the Black Panthers too, like all of that and what they've done for us politically in order for us to pave the way to do the things that we do now. Because that's one other thing that I'm also need to start shedding light. Like us youngins, I know that like things have changed, but we also got to pay respect and pay homage to our OGs that paved the way in order for us to have these conversations. But yeah, I don't want to steer away from the question no more, but it is the hyphenness, it is the hustle. And yeah, like we revolt, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think you went off the question at all. You stayed within it because it's so much that comes from where we're from that really helps create this, like you said, like a movement or like this general understanding of who we are, how we move. And so some of the things you talked about is our style. And that's something that I bring with me, like the gold hoops, you know what I mean? These is like,
right.
There's so much power in just like the little stuff that we wear that represents where we're from.
Right.
And so going, you know, when I was at UC Davis and I wore some hoops like this for, you know, a presentation I was given, and I got marked down for being unprofessional. And I'm like, damn, like I'm taking that as a personal insult because this is who I am. How is this bothering you? Like, were you too focused on the hoops that you wasn't hearing what I was saying?
Like the professor?
Yes, the professor.
That's one thing that, I think that these people have been conditioned to think that our style is, like, disturbing somebody. Like, and, like, that's another thing, like, when you're saying that somebody called you a chola, for one, there's nothing wrong being a chola. Like, that's our culture, like, the way, and honestly, like, we dress like that, bro. Like us Latinos, we got, you know, our bamboo hoops. We do what we do, girl. I bet you that person, that professor feels stupid today, because I know that nationally or just internationally, the world is really changing, you know, like really getting these folks like, yo, this is what's going on. Cause like, I literally, like right now, I'm literally at a, and I know you even know, like you're familiar with stuff like this, like conferences are normally led by like older people. But like right now I'm at a youth led coordinated event. And I only say that to say like, the world is literally changing in front of our eyes and we're taking part in that. And I'm just so sorry you had to experience that. But sometimes those are, there's this new like term that struggles that are necessary sometimes. Like sometimes we have to go through certain stuff in order for us to like really open our mind and our own personal experience and use it to a power to speak on these stuff, you know? And like, I be getting mad because it's like, bro, why we gotta go through that? Like, I'm like, why we gotta go through that? Like, we don't deserve that. But then I always ask the higher power. And I've also, I did a study or just practice Buddhism for like about 2 years, which taught me like, for one, the yin and the yang, like sometimes we need to suffer in order for us to see the light at the end, you know? And like, I'm just like, why Earth gotta be like that? But we chose to be here, right? But yeah, like, professors are so weird because like the fact that you say that too, when I was my political class at Berkeley, my professor, I'm very open about what it is and how what I go through, but I feel like I wanted to commit suicide. Like I failed all my classes because I'm a legal studies major and I think around that time I was political or legal studies. I don't forgot, but one of the professors who was a female, she would look at me up and down and wouldn't even like serve me as a professor. Like I would go to her and I'm, you know how our mentors would be in Oakland. Like they're like, the first day of class, at least try and present yourself. Be like, hey, my ass. I'm just like, I would be like, hey, like I'm from Oakland and I'm just really excited to be here. But I do just want to let you know, like where I come from, where my background is, and just, like you as a professor, hopefully you may have like some understanding of like the differences in between like the education system. Yo, she just basically. And I remember because she literally was like, she would always have her freaking coughing and she would do that. Well, and then one time, like afterwards, I just felt like so, it literally like almost silenced my voice. And I will never forget that. And then, but I used that to fuel me. And there was another circumstance where there was this girl, she didn't like the way I was writing, she didn't like my way of writing. And I'm like, baby girl, you went to a private school. I went to a public school, Oakland High, where we didn't even, we're hella under-resourced. And she lied that I plagiarized. She told the professor did a whole meeting. And I was like, you think I plagiarized? You can take me to the admissions office right now. And I said, this is completely disrespectful. But I said, I stay true to myself. If that's what you feel, take me. And the thing is, I had already, this professor was a person of color, which he knew what was kind of going on. But it's still like the stuff that we have to go through that just diminish our whole spirit. And like, we don't have to go through that. But at the end of the day, like, God knows that we're going to make it further than them. And I'm not talking about monetary purposes, like how further we're going to make it. But the impact that we're doing to our people is way deeper than whatever the people that have harmed us and tried to create barriers in our pathway will ever get to. And yeah.
Yeah, no, that's so real because I felt like I felt like education sometimes in my book, I talk about education being culture suckers. And I'm like, bro, sometimes they really do suck the soul out of you, like the culture, the dreams, the visions that we have going into those spaces to be like, yo, I'm gonna come in here and I'm gonna like, learn and be a part of this. But then we get to those spaces and we're like, hold on, y'all not, how did y'all want my diversity, but y'all not inclusive to the struggles that I experience or to the diverse, forms of oppression that have impacted me to even get to where I am today. And
Right.
when it came to that professor telling me about my hoops, I really like took them off and I never wore them for the rest of my 5 years there. And right? But what was beautiful about it is that I lost a part of myself. And then when I applied for my master's program, master's program, you got interviews. You got to go in person and like really, really present yourself and like speak. Okay, guess what was on when I went into my interview? I'm like, baby, if y'all gonna take me, you're gonna take me as I am, and this is who I am, and this is how I'm gonna present myself every day in your classrooms.
Right.
You're right. Sometimes it does get to a point where we lose a part of ourselves, but it's the process of what we witness that comes from that. Because when I lost a part of myself, I wasn't connected to my school no more. I wasn't connected to my studies. I wasn't connected to the work. I just felt like I was just there, just existing, trying to make it through in a university that didn't even have folks that looked like me like that. And
Right.
so, what's so beautiful is our hoods do have that. That's why every time I went to Oakland and I start hearing the music and I start seeing folks on their scraper bikes or like the speaker bikes that they be like rolling around playing hella loud music, when you see certain parts of the hood, it does something to your spirit. It almost like motivated me. It added that fuel and that fire to me again. So when I went back to school, I always felt like it brought my vision back of why I was there. And so some of the other parts that I love about Oakland is like that you highlighted is like somebody also brought it up. It's like the diversity of like ethnicities. Like we really got a whole Fruitvale town, like a whole Fruitvale. We got Chinatown. Like there's different streets that are dedicated to different parts of different people's ethnicities. And the
Right.
culture that we get to experience there allows for us to kind of understand each other differently. And even though we don't always coexist in the best ways, we do it better than a lot of the rest of the world. And I feel like that's so beautiful. Another part that I love is the graffiti. Like I love driving by Oakland and looking at all the artwork that is created on rather abandoned buildings under the freeways. Like that shit to me is art and it's so beautiful. so that when I live in spaces that are like a little more privileged and they ain't got none of that, I'm like, damn, this shit dry as hell. Like, where's the beauty in it, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's so different. It's such a different vibe, such a different experience that, you know, we don't always get. And so there's I always bring Tupac up because Tupac is like one of my idols when it comes to him speaking about oppression and different things that we face in the hood. And I know everybody knows the concrete roads, right? The roads that grew from concrete. And I feel like this pretty much sums that sometimes we can come from like places that were never meant for us to grow in the first place. Like that were never giving us the soil or maybe the sun or the water or the resources, right? That we really needed to
Or
like
the
grow.
light.
That part. But we still do, despite the lack of all those resources. And
Right.
I feel like that's just such a beautiful aspect and such a beautiful imagery that we can utilize to be able to connect ourselves to the truth of who we are, that sometimes you don't need all that extra shit. Sometimes all you got is maybe just the water that come every now and then in like the storm, or maybe it is the air or the sun or whatever it is that nourishes us, but sometimes that's just enough to get us through where we were trying to go. And
Yeah.
like I talked about, sometimes there are damaged petals on it. And like people be like I think you said like the main question to ask is like how we did it. Because when you look into like garden beds and you see where flowers are flourishing, you know they got their resources and people taking care of it. But we're
Right.
not paying attention to how we really grown and developing in places that really wasn't meant for us to do. And I think that's so beautiful. And I know that we were talking about like our authenticity being challenged in like higher education and things of that sense. And I love like the motivation that and the movement that you're creating with Hyphy and Educated. So I would love for you to kind of use the remaining minutes we have to kind of explain like what is that for folks who don't know what Hyphy and Educated is. Like what is your goal with that? What's the vision? What's the motivation behind it? And why is it important to have in our hood?
Right. And girl, honestly, don't worry. I'm enjoying this. Like, we could go on. You caught a shot. Yeah, so like Hyphy and Educated originated from everything that I do, 'cause I started like I started doing like the organizing that I do when like working with like other organizations. I was like 13, and I think that most of us, we don't own our own. We're always working for someone else. And then I started learning. I'm just like, I could do this on my own. And we're talking about like us both facing the education system that was not designed for us, that perpetuates racial injustice and just oppression, systemic oppression. And so what Hyphy and Educated is it's an academy. It's an academy where you can heal. It's an academy where race is being deconstructed, because Hyphen Educators is a multidimensional being. And if you're a part of is a multidimensional, yeah. And if you're a part of a Hyphen Educator, you understand that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. You know, like our world and humanity sometimes becomes so ingrained in like, what race are you? What, like, yo, our race is humanity. And I do understand, like, we can talk about like the black struggles. Like, yes, it's important to talk about the 400 centuries and much more of like bondage, of pain that our brothers and sisters have endured. We can talk about the Latinx, you know, our like immigrant communities. We can talk about our Asian brothers and sisters, the Pacific Islanders, Hawaiian and indigenous, Islam, just people from across. Sometimes we become so embedded around where do you fit in, when in reality, like, we fit in where love exists. And I think that I believe, and that's my mission, you know, what Hyphy and Educated is wants to do is provide resources to our community that the school won't do, and that certain programs and organizations don't do, because we also do have to keep it real. There's a lot of programs that want to address racial injustice, but in reality, like, they don't know what they're doing. And with me, I've been taking all them from everywhere that I go. I take information and I take it back to my home, and I'm just like, this is what I want. And like, and to me, high being educated is not my vision. And I swear to God, like, God, you know, you lay my ancestors, they laying their hands on me as I speak. It's not my vision. It's the Lord's vision that he wants me to literally extend to others around me, because we've been hurt so many ways. We've been, and then sometimes we just clash against each other, when in reality, the people that we got to clash against is the government white supremacy. And yeah, it's just around like, how can we create a space where youth, and not just youth, it's an intergenerational movement, because as I said, we have to respect our OGs. We have to respect our youth too. And we have to see each other as we're mutual, which you, I can learn from you and you can learn from me. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. We stand where love, and I really love what our James Baldwin has said, like, love is, and Dr. Sebi too, he said, love is so delicious, and that's where we all should stand. And yeah, just hyphen educated wants to bridge healing. It wants to bridge creative expression and civic engagement to bring political resistance, to disrupt the system that has been embedded, that has conditioned us to, you know, think what we do. And also, we want to empower other youth visionaries, because I believe that I'm really centered around healing, because I feel that healing is a standard line where we all can meet. You know, like, we all go through a lot of stuff. Healing is just so important to me. And in order for us to heal, we need to, you know, come together. And for us to heal, when we're able to heal, we're able to literally, like, fulfill all of our dreams, you know? And hyphen educated, it's just a movement, an academy. Hyphen educated is energy. Like, and every time that, you know, I talk to people, they're like, bro, I could really sense your energy. And then I'm just like, when you do this type of work, you really have to tap into yourself, because I'm not saving myself. I'm saving the people behind me, too. This is bigger than me. I'm trying to save my little sister. I'm trying to save my brother. I'm trying to save my little brother, too. I'm trying to pave a pathway for him so he doesn't go through the stuff that we went through, you know? And yeah, you know, I could go on and on and on and on and on, because I'm going to keep it a buck. Like, I'm still, as a young, you know, entrepreneur and just a student too, like, I still am learning too. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, and I also need to hold myself accountable, and I want my community to hold me accountable too, you know? And yeah, it's just a source, because what I like to do with Hyphen Educated is I don't like to tell people what to do. I want people to tell me what I need to do in order to best serve my people, you know? Because I think that sometimes businesses and organizations forget that. Like, you're not serving me. Like, you got to serve me. I'm your client. Like, I'm the person who you got to be asking these questions to. And yeah.
And that's the best way we can advocate to folks around us, is allowing for them to be the voice themselves. There was another presentation that I held where they were like, oh, can you talk about how this impacts, you know, this particular community? And I'm like, how about I just invite that community to speak for themselves? Because that's more impactful, is having folks being able to be the advocates for themselves, to tell them, to be able to show up and tell their truth. And so when you were talking about Hyphen Educated being a space for acknowledgement of our struggles, our oppression, our history, but also be a place to bridge healing and creative expression, to bring political resistance, like, that's such a huge mission that is so necessary for our hoods to be able to understand themselves, be able to understand other folks, and then being able to experience a sense of peace. Because I feel like, honestly, I was having this conversation today, like, yo, like, when I lived in a more privileged area, my survival mode was gone, and I was able to breathe and, like, almost experience life a little differently, because I didn't have to have fear of, like, walking outside and being shot by a drive-by or, like, stuff like that. And it's like, how can bring that energy to our folks? And it's really like allowing our folks to build that, like you said, that love aspect of it. And that's what we lack. People value how powerful love is, and I think the reason behind it is because of the love that they have experienced in their life,
right?
The lack thereof, right? And so when we talk about the political resistance, what that allows for us is to understand the systems that are in place, understand how they work, and understand how they allow for us to work against each other rather than helping each other get out of the oppression that we face. And so I love that you said that, like, the main goal is to empower our youth. Creating spaces where they can just show up and be themselves and like experience almost the same kind of spaces that maybe we wish we had growing up. Keeps the creativity and the dreams and the vision alive for folks to be able to go out and pursue whatever it is that they want to do. I had, when I was a therapist, I had kids telling me, like, I don't want to go to college. Like, I kind of want to travel the world. And I'm like, travel the world. But it was like, you're not going to tell me to go to college? And I'm like, school ain't for everybody. If you feel that your passion is going to be fulfilled doing other things, I'd rather you do that and be happy and connected to that purpose rather than feeling like the pressure of having to live a certain way or that you gain your success or your title a certain way. Because in reality, I know so many folks from the hood who ain't never been to school who are successful as hell and so authentic in their creativity. And I think that is so beautiful because there's not one way that we can accomplish the goals that we have set before ourselves. And then another thing I want to highlight, talking about like it's bigger than you. That's something that I've been advocating since I graduated my master's program because when I graduated, I'm not gonna lie, like there was so much trauma I faced in my master's program that took away my soul and my spirit and put me in a real like deep place of like depression because I'm like, damn, I thought I was made for this fight and I feel like I'm losing. Because in my classroom they would say things like, oh, we done talking about those people. I'm like, those people are my family members back at home. Those people are my aunties, my cousins, my neighbors, my vecinos. Like, what do you mean, like those people? And I think it's because of lack of representation or lack of accessibility that we have to enter in those spaces and speak our truth. Because I was always the one to call out the professors and be like, I call bullshit, like bullshit, because I lived through it. We have the workaholic, which is Lana talking about. That was me too when I was younger. I used to think that after high school, college was mandatory until life got hard for me. So I understand I want to travel and be stressed and struggle free. Like, that's so real. And I really pray that over your life. And like hope that you continue to like push forth that too. And so I know we're coming down to the last couple minutes, so I really want to ask this question of like, what advice? Oh wait, we have one more comment. It says, I remember taking courses where they would talk about things that would just make me cry in class. It would trigger childhood traumas. Like, that's so real. So many other folks could not relate, but it would hit me different. Yeah. You notice that when you're in like, especially like for me in higher education, when we was going over certain studies and certain documentation, I would say like college experience taught me a lot about cultural history than high school did. And I used to always be like, damn, why didn't they teach my people this like back in middle school and high school? Because then we could have peeped game and like more ahead. And so sometimes it's hard when you're the only one in the classroom that can relate to that story. And so the question that I have for you is, what advice would you give to those who have dreams to create and don't have no experience, or maybe don't have role models or an idea of how to accomplish it?
Okay, I'm so sorry. I just had somebody step in. Could you ask me again?
Yeah, of course. So the question is, what advice would you give to those who have had dreams to create and have no experience, no models, or an idea of how to accomplish it?
Look, honestly, and I say it, I don't, I'm not, everyone has their own pathway as to what their belief system is, but when I feel really lost in life, 'cause you know, we all go through our struggles, and sometimes we're like, where do we go? But one thing, because I swear to God, like, I could have been giving up on what it is that I do because of just everything I had to take on. And sometimes I literally ask myself, so I would say, ask yourself questions because you are the source, you're an extended version of the source. So ask yourself these questions, and your answers will be answered, literally. You have to believe in yourself. If you get a no, don't worry, the yes is gonna come. And I say that to say because, like, growing up, I was always like, it would be so many reasons where I would have chose not to be who I am, But there was something that always spoke to me and that made me realize that this is bigger than me, you know? So I knew that something was bigger than me and I believed in myself. And I would say that, like, if you want to chase this, if you want to attract this dream, now that's another thing that I've been trying to do. Like, don't chase the dream, attract it. You can attract, tap in with yourself. Like, I know that us people of color, bro, we're always told, like, to meditate, but we're like, what the fuck is meditation? I'm not just about to sit there and meditate and close my eyes and do that. But there's different forms of meditation. Like, find yourself, get to learn more about who you are, because sometimes we want to get into something, but that's not what we truly want to do, and that's life. Like, there's no formula to this shit that we're doing. There's no formula to attracting the dream, and I do want to stress that, like, sometimes we always, like, I know that the main goal is to have money, because that is something that has always been taken away from us, like the monetary, like the prosperity that we can reach. But when you have a belief and you believe in a higher power that thy will provide, you will be okay. And I say this, like, I'm a testimony of this. I've experienced being unhoused, and that was just recently too. And it's funny though, because I'm finally being open about it, because, like, my parents know, but you know how Mexican parents be. Sometimes it's hard to have conversations, but I don't blame my parents. I don't never, ever blame my parents, because my parents did everything that they could do for me to be here, and they're learning as much as I am. And when I was going through all of that, I felt lost. I didn't want to do it. I was just like, bro, fuck it. Like, I don't care. I don't care if I graduate. Like, I don't care. Like, I really just don't care. But sometimes you do have to distinguish and also ask yourself, like, bro, am I right? Like, our emotions are so strong. Our emotions will make us do stuff that we don't want to do. And they're emotion. They're going to come and go. So I do. That's why I say, like, stay still within yourself. Tap in into your power. Tap in into your divinity that you have, because we all are a divine being. We all are a spiritual being having a human experience. We can't let our physicality stop us from the spiritual impact that we can do on ourselves, you know? So, I literally say, I forgot what I was trying to say. I say that to say, because I was going through all of that. Like, I didn't talk to my family for a year when I was in college. I was out here just thugging it on my own. Like, I was mad. I had so many questions. I wanted my family to love me, to understand what I was going through, because, bro, being first generation is so hard. Like, that's a conversation that really needs to be talked about. And just like you said, yeah, college is not for everyone. That's why it's important for you to stay still and let the power of Jah flow through you, you know? Because when you sit still in your thoughts, you, like, sometimes we're living in someone else's imagination rather than your own. And then our imagination is a resource of the world that we can build, of the world that we want to create. And yeah, I just have a belief system, because it's bigger than us, bro. It really is bigger than us. Tapping into yourself, because when you do that, it's like you're gonna even learn more about yourself. You're gonna learn more about the world. And the thing is, I'm just 22 years old. That's just my journey and what has got me to where I got to. I've even forgot what I said. Oh, yeah, because I went through all of that, and I lost faith in God. And I asked, like, when things get hard and we go higher up life, like, the devil gets closer. You know, the devil's always there as much as the Lord is. So you got to know which one is which. And, yeah, just don't give up. Tap in with yourself. Because I was like, I don't want to do this. Like, fuck this. Like, I don't care. Like, I'll fail. Like, fuck, I want to die. Like, fuck all y'all, bro. That's literally how I felt. But I'm like, nah, bro. Like, something told me. Like, there's just this. Oh, listen to your voice. There's also ego, too. Know which one you talking to. There's good ego and there's bad ego. And I just think that overall, though, it's just tapping with yourself. Because I always felt like I had the Lord, the higher power would always talk to me. But this time it was harder to reach it, because I was literally about to elevate my perspective and my faith on the higher power. And that's what happens when you start to tap in with yourself, because the government does not want you to do. The government, think about like why does the pharmacy why is there a lot of pharmaceuticals? Why can we not go back to holistic approaches to heal ourselves? Why is it always a certain way that we have to heal? The education system doesn't even have enough context to really heal our kids, to really heal ourselves. So, and that's what my community helped me do. It helped me tapping into myself, my family too. Like they always told me, like, it's bigger than you, bruh. And when you tap in with yourself, when you know that you literally have to serve humanity, bruh, because this shit's bigger than you, like God will go and provide. And I'm not rich, but best believe I live like a queen and I live like royalty, and that's be royalty, and that's because I told myself I am not. That those quiet times that I took by myself, those times where I was literally crying in my apartment, everything pitch black, where depression really hits you, where you're like, I don't give a fuck. I just want to fucking cry. You see, when they were like, when the Summer Walker, and then like you just cried to the wall, like, yo, it was that real. Like I was crying. I just wanted to just not be here. But those situations made me get closer to a higher power. And that's why I'm able to be here today. Like when I was depressed, and when you're trying to build a business, we're trying to build a movement, it is not easy. When I was depressed, I couldn't even get up to do one meeting. Now I'm doing meetings, I'm in summits, I'm working two jobs, I'm training, I'm helping my mom handle business, I'm helping my little sister with her IEP, I'm helping my little brother get his money. Like I'm doing all of these things, and that's because the higher power granted me this. But yeah, have a belief system, have time to yourself. I went off, I'm sorry.
No, I think the folks really needed to hear that too, because it allows for us to really get that real and intentional aspect of stuff that we don't always have access to. I apologize for the ice cream truck behind me. I still live in the hoods. But I love
Yeah.
part of it. But you're right, is being able to tap into ourselves from such a higher power and being able to have that vision to where we can almost attract what it is that we desire ourselves to see or experience in our lives. And then you also talked about what I thought was so beautiful is being able to just be present with ourselves. Taking the time to like really get in tune with our own dreams and our own visions, because there's so many of us who are like really pushing and living for the dreams and visions of other people that don't always make it seem like that's something we connected to. Because growing up, folks used to always tell me, like, girl, you're gonna be a lawyer one day. And I'm like, all right, you know, because they're like, you're good enough to be a lawyer, like the way you argue, the way you do this. And then when I started to really get embedded and get into law, I'm like, hell no, this ain't the way I want to do it. Like, I'm just not connected to that vision and that dream. And so I had to take 2 years off of, like, after I graduated and, like, really get in tune with who I am and what I wanted to experience. And so I think that's a beautiful aspect that I appreciate you so much for just coming on here and being able to share. I know you were not feeling your best, and I really, really pray over your health and hope that you feel better too. But I really want to appreciate you for the wisdom that you shared, for your time, your energy that you poured on to not only the listeners that we have on here, but for the listeners who are going to listen to the podcast right after this as well. Because it allows for us to be able to validate a lot of the life experiences that we go through all the time, but we don't always talk about, you know what I mean? And so I appreciate you so much. I'm also going to close out with talking about next month. Next month, we're doing and having conversations that we were already talking about right now. That's how I was like, I know that was my confirmation from the universe of like, okay, we talking about the right stuff. Next month, we're going to be talking about educational racism, oppression, navigation through oppressive and racist institutions with the forced resiliency. And what that means is that sometimes people see resilience as a good thing, like, yo, you got to be resilient through it. But sometimes we force into that shit too much. And it's like, damn, I don't want to be strong all the time. Like, I don't want to have to keep standing firm in certain institutions that have all the wisdom and knowledge for us to not be experiencing this in here anymore. And so stay tuned next month. August is going to be the month of those deep and vulnerable conversations. September was supposed to also be the conversation that we have talking about healthy and unhealthy relationships, but I'm going to postpone that for a future day because September is the month of my due date. And mom
Ooh.
takes some next time. I was like, I'm gonna do it, but now I'm like, you know what? I need to kind of like tune out and take care of myself and make sure I'm giving myself time to also embrace this pregnancy before baby comes. But again, Jocelyn, I appreciate you so much for being a part of this, and I definitely hope to collab with you on many, many more projects that we have and giving back to our hoods in ways that like we both know is our divine purpose from above.
A baby is about to be a Sagittarius, no, a Virgo. The baby gonna be a Virgo. I'm a Virgo moon, so to that. No, and like I say, like, thank you for bringing me to your platform. Thank you for allowing me to like shed light on this. Like, I really feel like I'm in alignment with just the work that, you know, you're doing. And yes, you know, we gonna collaborate. We need to. And I do just need to say, like, thank you for everyone that stay throughout the whole, you know, talk. And just one last remark too that I would have to say, just to let everyone know, one thing that I'm also learning is that you can't do it all, you know, like you have to just find your niche, and that way you can like really produce what it is that it's within inside you and what you can provide to like your community. Because from personal experience, sometimes I wanted to do it all and I burned myself out. And I know that us from the hood, sometimes we're forced to do it all. Like, we got to do this and we got to do that. But no, like, just rest and be who you are and just find your niche. And because when we do this work, there's so many ways that you can enter the work that we're doing. You know, just find how you can contribute to it. But yeah, thank you, everyone. And it's funny because I did feel like kind of bad. But that's crazy how being in spaces, how, you know, you gave me your energy. It made me feel better. And like, because you see, I called you and I was like, girl, this is how I'm feeling. But I feel better. And I'm just grateful for that. And I'm excited. You know, I'm here to support your mission. I'm here to support your vision. And I'm just so excited to, you know, continue to do this work. And I have fun, too. People on the chat, y'all was lit. I love the engagement. So, yeah.
Yes, I appreciate the people and folks who stay tuned and also were very like expressive in the chat too, because we definitely be reading y'all comments out loud. Like, y'all part, it's not, I know it's just me and Jocelyn like really like talking out loud, but y'all part of this discussion as well. It's a community conversation, so we appreciate y'all being able to share your own personal experiences and being vulnerable, because I know so many of y'all don't even know each other and y'all sharing your own lives on here, and that is so beautiful. And it highlights the power of storytelling that is also therapeutic to our souls, because it allows for us to feel like, damn, you feel like that too? Me too. Like, you know, and it builds a bridge to allow for us to see how really deeply connected we are with people around us. And so, again, I appreciate you so much. I wish you the best. And I'm so thankful that you feel better. And what's so real is that energy that you felt was reciprocated. And right. I felt like we both showed up, and just naturally when you're in the right place at the right time talking to the right people, the universe gonna bless you with health and prosperity and everything else that you need, just naturally, right?
Right.
And so I pray that you continue to have, I know you said you like 3 hours ahead, so I really pray that you continue to have like an amazing night and get the rest that is so important, because rest is just as an important part of the revolution as anything else.
Right.
Like, rest is revolutionary, you know. Right. So being able to ourselves as well. So we appreciate you, and we close off by saying we thank you to everyone else who's been a part of this movement. We'll see you next month, and Jocelyn, we'll see you soon.
Right, we're gonna stay tapped in. Bye, everyone.
Hey, bye, y'all.
Thank you again for tuning in with my podcast, Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on your notifications for future episodes that will be full of authentic storytelling by members of our own community. You can find me on Instagram at CONFI_DEZ. If you haven't already gotten your copy of my poetry book titled The Becoming of Her, be sure to get yours today. We forget that reading is just as reflective and powerful. I'm sending lots of love and peace and light to you all. May we continue to heal ourselves and each other every day.